word last night was hard, you know, but it's the truth. And that message, I believe Pastor Wayne come and said that, yep, that was right. That message last night was just what I advertised it to be. A message that 99.9% of the preachers will not preach, and 100% of the people don't want to hear, but it's the absolute truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So, and I was excited. I've been excited about the visitors that we've had Friday night and Saturday night. I mean, that was encouraging. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. But here we are today. We're glad that you're here in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I hope some things that are spoken here this morning will penetrate your heart. Amen. And want you to get closer to the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
I think some of the things that Glenn said kind of penetrated my heart. I want to get back on the foreign mission field. I'm just up in Canada and Indian Reservation, but kind of won't get back down to Honduras and, you know, Guatemala, Mexico, Cuba, South America. Anyway, I better quit. I'm just daydreaming now, praise the Lord. Well, you know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I realize that. And I know sometimes people will just shut me out. Let me know, if you ever just shut somebody out, it's like, I don't like him, I don't care what he says, I ain't going to pay no attention to him, no matter. And I know that, you know, personality, you know, it has a lot to do with bringing forth the Word of God, believe it or not. I told a preacher here just not too long ago, he started a church, it actually took the pastorship of that church in Nashville, and the church had a bad reputation, and he was trying to do everything that he could to get people into the church, you know, and he knocked on doors, and he was having singing, and he was having dinners, and it didn't seem like nothing worked, you know. And I said, well, brother, you've got to remember, you're dealing with carnal people. You're not dealing with spiritual people. He said, well, what would you do? I said, well, the first thing I'd do is I would change the name of the church, and I'd paint it. I'd paint it a different color. He said, what? I said, yeah, I'd paint it a different color and change. Let them know this, whatever what's on the inside is changed.
Yeah.
Because they're just looking at the outside. They're just driving by, you know, they're just seeing the sign. They're just seeing the building. They heard all that bad stuff. They heard, you know, he said, you know, you're right, Brother Hayes. He said, I was at somebody's house not long ago. And they said, oh, you're talking about that church over there. You're talking about that church over there. You're talking about that one over there. And they said, everywhere I went now, they would say, well, oh, you mean that church over there on the corner? Or that? Oh, I remember. Oh, you're talking about that church. In other words, it had a reputation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to understand, you know, that church had a personality. Mm-hmm. You know, it had a philosophy and a personality that was not in tune with the love of Jesus. The doctrine might have been right. The teaching might have been right. But how many of us, we've got to do this thing in love. We've got to show people the love of Jesus, you know. So, but I know that I try my level best, amen, to be what the Lord wants me to be. But I know that I'm not everybody's cup of tea. And I just hope that they will look past any faults that they may see in my flesh, that they may see in me, and they would listen to the words that are spoken. Because I'm here not to promote myself, but to promote Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. He is the Word.
Yes.
And I'm here to promote the Word of God. Amen. Amen. What the Lord has revealed to me. I tell people everywhere I go, you don't have to believe everything I preach. You get into the Word of God, you search the Word, you find out if it's the truth or not. Yes. If you find me in error, be a brother, be a sister to me, come and let me know. I want to be right. I don't want to be wrong. Amen.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as we go into the Word here this morning. From 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I want to read that if you have your Bibles. I want to read a lot of Scripture, but I'm going to do this as fast as I can. And not taking a whole lot of your time this morning. Hopefully just enough time to get the message through that I feel like the Lord wants us to bring to you this morning. I've never preached this before. I've just finished an article not too long ago, a month or so back on this subject, and I think it's coming out either this month or next month. And so you'll be getting a trumpet messenger with this particular teaching in it. And like I say, I've never preached this before, but I want to take enough time to relay what I'm trying to say to you, what I feel like the Lord has revealed here. From 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the Word of God says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power hath, that means has already, given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So the Lord has given us already given us, according to his divine power, all things. Is that correct? Yeah. That pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. In other words, he speaks about knowledge again. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So in other words, these things come by what? It comes by knowledge. Somebody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
Whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then, you know, when you look at that verse, that was a few verses of Scripture, you see that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's all through the grace and peace has been multiplied. It's all through the knowledge of God. In other words, and he called us to glory and virtue, and it seemed like everything is given to us, but then he says that you might be a partaker, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So it's almost like you got it, but you don't got it. How many of those, that's the way the Word of God is through the whole thing. You got it, but you don't got it. You're saved, but you're not saved. You're sanctified, but you're not sanctified. You're perfect, but you're not perfect, you know. So in other words, it's talking about two things all the time, all the time. When the Apostle Paul has delivered the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it's about two things all the time. Because, you know, man, if you've ever read some of the stuff on that the Lord gave me on spirit, soul, and body, man is that trifold being, consists of spirit, soul, and body. So there's something that God is dealing with the whole time. We're born again, but we're also being born again. Born again, but being born again. Yes. So now what's going on here? Are we born again or are we not born again? Are we saved or are we not saved? You know, do we have the divine nature or we don't have the divine nature? So these are some of the issues I hope to settle here this morning and with the help of the Lord. Now, I want to look at some words here. I'm going to teach to you this morning. The Lord would be my helper. Because the Lord had told me several years ago the greatest need of the church was not miracles, signs, and wonders, but it was teaching. My people perish because of lack of knowledge, because they rejected knowledge. A lot of people, they haven't rejected, but they've never been presented with knowledge. Knowledge is what's going to bring you unto the image of Jesus. I mean, look, we've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That is God's predestinated will for every single solitary one of us that's born again is to come into the express image of Jesus, into his image. Amen. Now, I want to look at some words, but I want you to understand words can mean different things. Now, for instance, if I said to you this morning, if I said just one word, if I said a word like trunk, okay, what would the first thing would be to come in your mind if I said trunk? Okay, sometimes it would be a suitcase, a trunk, or clothes. Someone might think about an elephant's trunk. Amen. Some might think about, what's another trunk?
A car trunk.
Someone might say, what are you talking about? A car trunk. So is a car trunk, is an elephant's trunk, or is it, how about a tree trunk?
Yeah.
A tree has a trunk. Amen. In medical terms, guess what? These are limbs. Our feet, our legs, this is limbs. So what's a limb attached to? Attached to a trunk.
Yeah.
So in medical terms, a body without limbs is a trunk.
Yeah.
So you see the word trunk can be used in various kinds of things and settings. And so is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And also in particularly in the Greek, it can mean so many different things.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will take a word and take it out of context and then develop a doctrine with it that could be a false doctrine. And even those say, well, that's what the word says. It says this, but it's taken out of context. So but that word, whatever that trunk, and if I say, well, I want to get my trunk, I'm going to go on a trip, then you would automatically know I was talking about a suitcase. I wouldn't be talking about an elephant's trunk. I'm not going to take an elephant on a trip with me. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So in that context, you would know what the word trunk meant. You understand what I'm saying here this morning? So you have to understand it in reading the Word of God. You can't just take a word out of it and all of a sudden develop a message or a doctrine or a teaching or prove anything with just one word. It has to flow in context with the way that it's written or spoken. Most times I will tell people, you know, just don't read one verse, read before it, all the way through it, and after it, then you can kind of get an idea of what has been written, what was said. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Now, okay, so through knowledge, we can possess, according to the Scripture, all the promises of God. That's what he's talking about, through knowledge. It's through the knowledge of God. And then we can partake of the divine knowledge, divine nature. Now, knowledge, according to Strong's Concordance, we look at knowledge now in the Greek and find out what the definition of knowledge is in the Greek. Most times, the definition of the Greek is the same as the English. However, they are words, amen, that is in the in Old English, and I'm a firm believer in the King James Version Bible, that there are some words in the King James Version Bible that is obsolete, and they're under Old English. They no longer, nobody knows any idea hardly what they mean. And we could talk about this. Someone said something about a coat of many colors, I believe, last night, or somebody said this, I don't know, maybe somewhere else. But you go back into the Old Testament where it said, you know, Joseph's coat of many colors. And he's ever read it. And you know, in Sunday school classes, they have different colors of coat of many colors. But when you go back and you realize, you study that word, it doesn't mean a coat of that color, C-O-L-O-R-S, it's C-O-L-O-U-R-S. It's an old English term that means long-sleeved garment or many-sleeved garment. So that changes the whole meaning of that because that, of the definition of that one word. Can you say amen? Well, you should say amen if you don't think it's right, but it is right. I can assure you, I would, you know, tell you that it's something that's wrong if I know it's wrong. So in other words, some of these words have no meaning to us anymore. I remember years ago when I first started studying the Word of God, I came across a scripture. My daddy had always told me, you know, me and my little brother, we would make a mess of the house. And he said, you've made a shambles of this house. Yeah. Look at this, what you've done. You've wrecked this house. He said, nothing but a total shambles here. Get this room cleaned up. So when I began to study the Word of God, reading the Word of God, where Paul wrote and he said something to the effect that whatsoever thou eatest in the shambles, you know, therefore eat, giving no conscience. You know, giving up, what is that something for conscience sake, you know? Yeah. In other words, what it's saying, you know, well, and I read that and I think, eat in the shambles, eat in a mess, what the world is he talking about, you know? So, you know, being as intelligent as I am, I knew I didn't understand. I said, that word, that just don't make sense, you know. So what did I do? I got into the Word of God. I got into the Strong's Concordance. That's when I first bought my Strong's Concordance. Boy, what a blessing that I have had over the years with the Strong's Concordance. Yes, so I got my Strong's Concordance out, and I looked up the word, and it said meat market or marketplace. So in other words, now it makes sense. So it's wherever you eat in the meat market or marketplace, you know. That therefore he not given anything for his conscience sake. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I guess what I'm saying here this morning, anytime you're in a study, anytime you're in a Bible study, anytime you're reading the Word of God, you come across something that don't make sense, 9 times out of 10 is because of an old English word that's no longer used, and you think it means this, but it don't really mean that. Mm-hmm. That's when you need the definition of the word. Amen? Okay, the definition of knowledge, or Strong's Concordance, means this. It means recognition or full discernment that I may know him. Remember the Apostle Paul, that I may know him. The word know means to perceive or to have knowledge. That I may know him. In that particular place, it means to have knowledge of him, to perceive him, to really comprehend him. So knowledge then is, by definition, something that we can have full discernment of, a full knowledge of. So through knowledge, through having knowledge of, we can know God. We can know what his purposes are. We can know what his will is. And we can know his purposes in us. We can know his divine mind. One place Paul of Leo wrote said, we have the mind of Christ. We know what God wants in our lives. How many can say that at this point? We have the mind of Christ. We really, born-again Christians really do have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. You really do know God. His mind is his will. Yes. You really do know the mind of Christ. Okay, then the word, another word that we're looking at the words now from 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Am I going too fast?
No.
Okay, the word divine. The word divine means to be God-like. It means Godhead. That's what the word divine means. Godlike or Godhead. Now remember, we use that word divine. We read in that Bible, it talked about the divine nature. It's really saying a godly nature to be Godlike. How many of those God created man in his own image after his own likeness?
Amen.
Amen. That's what he did in the beginning. And that's what God recreated in us when you were born again. Mm-hmm. Now, then, the next word we want to look at is godliness. Our next word is godliness. The word godliness defines, means holiness, well-reverent, devout, godly. So those two words basically meaning the same kind of thing. Now, nature, and this is really what our study is this morning, is about the nature, the divine nature, or the nature. Nature is defined as growth by germination or expansion, that is by implication a natural production. That's what nature means. I like the definition nature means by germination. In other words, and I'll read it in a moment for you, but you know, God said, let every seed bring forth of its own kind. So that is the nature of a seed. The nature of, in other words, a seed that is an apple seed, the nature of that seed is to produce an apple tree. And the apple tree's nature would be to produce apples. Is that right?
Yes.
So the nature of that apple tree was to produce apples. Amen. Now, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. Now, I believe that God, if they were created in the image of God after his likeness, I believe they were created with a divine nature. A divine nature. Because it could not be any other. If God had created them, remember, they were not born, they were created. The Bible talks about being born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but Adam and Eve were not born. They were not born in sin. They were created. I mean, there's a difference. Adam was the son of God by creation. Jesus, the son of God by birth. He has the birthright. Adam was created, so he was created not with a, what we would call a sinful nature, but he was created with a divine nature because he was created in the image and likeness of God. Now, so there is a divine nature that we can partake of according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. There is a divine nature, amen, which we can partake of. So if there is a divine nature, there has to be another nature. There has to be a second nature. Now, the second nature is what I would refer to, and many other Bible students years ago would refer to as an Adamic nature. So there's two natures. There is the Adamic nature, and the reason that this teaching, I don't know if y'all, you know, if y'all ever heard this kind of teaching. Now, I haven't heard it in years, but there used to be a teaching years ago that born-again Christians had two natures. That we had a human nature, and since we were born again, we also had a divine nature that we could partake of. So in other words, that we have two natures. Now, personally, I don't believe that, because I do not believe that a born-again Christian can have two separate natures. And I'll explain that to you in just a moment. Now, but these two natures, now the divine nature, and let's call it right now the human nature, oppose one another.
Yes.
They oppose one another. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let me talk about this divine nature just a little bit more. The divine nature which God created originally in Adam. I mean, we know the story of Adam, how that he sinned. You say, well, Brother Hayes, how did he commit a sin if he had a divine nature? He would have to go against that nature. I'll show you in just a little bit how you can go against nature. But we know that he sinned. We know that he failed. Amen? We can all agree with that, that he sinned and that he failed. And this is where the Adamic nature, or the term Adamic nature, comes from. It stems from the original sin. In other words, because there was an original sin, then they say that is the Adamic nature because he sinned. Every person, and I'll read the scripture in a minute, that's been born since Adam was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We come into this world as sinners. Look at these little children here. They're precious children. You know, but when they were a baby, they come into this world a sinner. That's why they need Christ. That's why but Jesus said, you must be born again.
Yes.
There is no other way to enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. You just can't step into the kingdom of God in this body, in this mindset. You have to be changed. There's something supernatural has to happen in your life. You must be born again. Or you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God. Okay, now, as we look at this thing, In Psalms, I believe it was, matter of fact, here it is, 51. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All right, so we were born in sin. Every person since Adam was born in sin. You were born a sinner. Amen. You were born a liar, a murderer, an adulterer, and a thief. You were born in sin. Okay, you got to get that in your mind. Now, that's what the Word of God said. We were born in sin. Now, then it says this in Ephesians 2 and 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, there's that word nature, and by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So man is a sinner by nature. It is your nature to sin. I mean, some kind of little children haven't had a little baby, and you would say to that baby when it's able to kind of talk, and some of them will do it even before they're even can communicate with you. Did you eat that candy? No. And when in fact he did eat the candy, he automatically sins. I mean, because the little critter is born a liar. I mean, that's just a fact about it. He's precious, or she's precious, she's loving. You love her to pieces, but the little brat lied. But we all have lies.
Yes,
because we were born that way. That was our nature. That was our nature to do that. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. And I don't wonder if you now can sit there and say you never told a lie though. Come on.
Yeah.
It was a little white lie. But it was a lie. Amen. There's no difference.
No.
So, but according to the Word of God, how many know we've got to let the Word of God be true and let every man be a liar?
Yeah.
If the Word of God said we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, guess what? That's where you was born.
Amen.
If the Word of God said by nature you were the children of wrath, even as others, but that's your nature.
That's right.
That's what you were born with.
Mm-hmm.
You were not born with a divine nature.
Yeah.
You were born with a sinful nature. All of us were born sinners.
Yeah.
That makes it really clear why Jesus had to come.
Yes.
That's why he had to shed his blood, and we cannot be saved without the blood.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, okay, so then another scripture in 1 Corinthians, not only were you born a sinner, you were born condemned. You come into this world condemned. You're like, when you're born in this world, even though as a child, you were like a man shut up in prison, condemned to the death penalty.
Amen.
Do you realize when we come into this world, we were condemned to a death penalty?
Yes.
We were all condemned. Every one of us were condemned to a death penalty. The scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and maybe through 22 here, but it says this, for since man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, for as in Adam all die. In Adam all die. So even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So that's why the importance of the gospel. See, the world doesn't understand the importance of the gospel. And sadly, a lot of churches don't understand the importance of it. And a lot of preachers don't understand the importance of it. They have to understand that there's not one single solitary person that's born on planet Earth can enter into heaven, can live, can be saved without Jesus Christ. They must be born again. There is no other way around it. You can't join the church and get born again. You can't sign the book somewhere. You can't let be baptized as a baby and get born again. You must be born again. Because you were born under death. Condemnation, you were born with a sentence of death in your life. That's why Jesus came. Now, we've got to fully understand that they are two natures. The nature of man, which is a sinful nature. And then there is the nature of God, which is a divine nature. Now, if the Word of God told us, and we know it did, that every seed brings forth of its own kind. That means that every person born, and I want to keep emphasizing this over and over, get it in our minds exactly why we must be born again and what happened when we were born again. Every seed bringing forth of his own kind means every person born from man is condemned and born a sinner, and you're on your way to hell.
Yes.
That is your path. That's your way you're going when you come into this world. Thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for sending your only Son to die on the cross. Yes. My Lord.
Amen.
Now, okay, I want to say this, but then I'm going to prove it. Okay? I like to do that because if people didn't think I'm wrong when I do say it, then I can prove it, then I prove them wrong. But I do not believe, I said a while ago at the beginning, I do not believe a Christian has two natures. There are people that teach that we have two natures. That we have the nature of God and we also have the nature of man in us. I don't believe that. And I don't believe the Word of God teaches that. But let me go on here. Well, let me just ask this question. Okay, if we just have one nature, and that nature is the divine nature, how could we sin? If we just have the divine nature, then if we just have the one nature, we can't have the sinful nature anymore, can we? Or can we? Do we have a sinful nature and not the divine nature? Or do we have the divine nature and not the sinful? Or do we have both of them at the same time? There's got to be an answer to this question. Let me ask you this. Can you pervert or change nature? Can you go against nature?
Yes.
You can say yes, or
yes.
You can say
no.
It's just a question that you're thrown out to.
Yes.
Can we go against nature? Okay, look at this. In Romans chapter 1, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature.
Yes.
Y'all remember that scripture? It's in Romans.
Yes.
Which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men working with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was me. So it says absolutely, positively, that they went against nature. Their nature was not men working with men and women working with women. Their nature was just the opposite of that, but they went against their nature. Is that right? Now, we could go against nature. That's talking about homosexuality. You may not see homosexuality every day, but there is something, there is things where people go against nature every day. Every single day. You can see in the marketplace, at the school, in your travels, at the workplace, wherever you go, you can see perversion and change against nature. Let me give you a scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for covering. Now, he's not talking about the divine nature here. He's talking about human nature. He's talking about man's nature. He's talking about even sinful nature teaches you that it's a shame. Now, how many know there's a lot of women that is opposite this? This is in the Bible, by the way. I mean, I'm not reading from this. Is in the Bible here. I mean, he's talking about the Bible. And the Bible says that for me to have long hair, which would mean to have hair like a woman, amen, to have hair like a woman, I would be going against my manly nature. Because a man don't want to look like a woman. So it also goes beyond just the physical appearance. There's got to be something wrong with me if I want to look like a woman. Is that right? And it would be something wrong with a woman that wanted to look like a man. It's called homosexuality or effeminacy, you know, and being effeminate or the opposite. In other words, what the scripture is talking about is what your nature for a woman. I mean, women are always fussing with their hair. Amen? They always want their hair to look just right. Well, that's the woman's nature. A man, most of the time, he don't care how it looks, you know, just comb back and everything looks pretty decent. Everything, he's good to go. But so there is a nature that you see people go against it every day. Amen? Every day you see people, men and women, going against, opposing what their nature teaches them.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So you can't go against nature. Your nature to be a man, your nature to be a woman. You can go against that according to the Word of God.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have two natures? We know he was a man. Amen. But did he have two natures? He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, yet he was without sin. The Bible says in one place he was spotless and blameless. But did he have two natures? I would submit to you that he had one nature. And I would submit to you that that nature that he had was a divine nature. It was the nature of God. Even though he could have sinned, even though he could have committed a sin. Yes, he could have. And he overcome sin as a man, not as a God.
Amen.
He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, yet without sin he cannot tempt God, but he was tempted.
Yes.
But he was spotless, without sin.
Yes.
So Brother Hagin, why do you say he just had one nature? Because he was not born in sin.
That's right. That's right.
His father was the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
His father was God.
Yes.
Now remember, every seed, somebody say seed, brings forth of his own kind.
That's right.
The seed comes from the man. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
I don't want to do a biology study here, but the seed comes from the man.
Right.
So Jesus was born without an earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
He had a virgin for a mother.
Mm-hmm.
But his seed, the seed of God, came when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and the seed of God was implanted, spiritually speaking, and physically, manifestation later, come of that seed, it come from God. So Jesus was not born in sin, neither was he shaped in iniquity.
Amen.
He was born the Son of God.
That's right.
A most unique man that's ever been born on planet Earth, or there will ever be born on planet Earth. There will never, nobody ever going to be born the same way that Jesus was born.
That's
Amen.
Right.
He is that unique. So he had one nature.
Yes.
When you come into this world, you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. How many natures did you have?
One.
You had one. You had a sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus did not have a sinful nature.
No.
Now, for Jesus to have sinned, he would have had to win against his nature.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
He could have sinned. It's like, man, I've shown you in the scripture, you know, you can go against your nature. And Jesus could have went against his nature.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose not to sin.
Right.
Amen. So you can look at it both ways. The divine nature could have committed a sin and stepped into the sinful nature.
Yes.
So then if that is true, can the man with the sinful nature step into the divine nature?
Yes.
He absolutely can.
Yes.
And that's what the scripture is teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so we've concluded something here very, very important. In that Jesus had one nature, the divine nature. He never committed a sin, although he could have sinned. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature before man and God. Is that right? So as Jesus grew in stature before man and God, I mean, he overcome sin. Amen. He was tried. He was tempted. He went through all of these things. By the way, the Bible said he was made perfect through the things that he suffered.
Amen.
So if he was made perfect through the things that he suffered, that means that he was not born perfect in the relationship of what that scripture is talking about. And that scripture is talking about coming to complete maturity. Jesus had to grow up.
Yes.
He was a child. He was a baby. He was a child. And he had to grow up. How many knows you and I are the body of Christ and members in particular? We've got to grow up.
That's true.
We've got to grow into maturity. We've got to grow into adulthood.
Amen.
So it's a process that we're all going through. Now, so he was without sin. He was without spot, without a blemish. He was the Lamb of God. Amen. But he only had the one nature. Amen. So he would have had to go against nature for him to see the seed that he came from. Every seed brings forth of its own kind. Amen?
Amen?
Every seed brings forth of its own kind. His seed was from God. Your seed is from man. That's why you got to be born again.
Amen.
But when you're born again, I said, when you're born again, you become a what? A new creature in Christ Jesus. You become a new creation in God. Old things pass away. All things become new. Not that they are becoming new. Not they will become new, but they are become new. You're not going to be a new creature yet tomorrow. You're already a new creature. You're already a new creation in God. You've been born again.
Amen.
You love the Lord.
Amen.
Born again. Amen. Now, let's go back to what used to be taught and probably is taught today. I haven't heard none of this stuff in years. But they used to teach it was two natures in a Christian. In other words, you're a schizophrenic. That's really what he's talking about. Yeah. You're a Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah. One day you could be great. The next day you'd be mean as the devil. That's the way it would be if you have two natures.
Amen.
They described it as a white dog and a black dog. A good dog and a bad dog. One day the good dog's in control of your life, but the next day the bad dog is controlling your life. One day you're excited about serving Jesus, the next day you want to go play at the bar down the road. Because those two natures are warring with one another, they would say. This is a struggle. And I remember years and years and years ago, I remember seeing a little track and it had a picture of a man, and down the middle of it was a line drawn. One side was black and one side was white. And it was the two natures fighting with one another. One trying to control the other. Now, I don't believe Christians, born-again Christians, are schizophrenic.
No.
I don't believe I've got a bad dog and a good dog in me. I don't believe that. I don't believe that there's a struggle within inside of me fighting for who's going to be in control of my life. Why? Because I'm born again. I'm a new creation in God.
Yeah.
So, brother, what is the struggle that I'm having? I'm having a struggle. The struggle you're having is right here. It's in your mind. You don't have a sinful nature anymore. When the Bible talks about the flesh, what do you think it's talking about? Do you think it's talking about the flesh? Oh, I hate the flesh. Well, he's in the flesh. You ever heard those terms?
Yes.
Well, he was just in the flesh. Some of you are probably thinking about me right now saying, well, he's just in the flesh. What does it mean in the flesh? What are you talking about? What does the word mean when you hear the word flesh? What are you talking about? Are you talking about just flesh on some bones? When somebody's in the flesh, what does it mean? They're in their own mind or their own what? What does it mean?
Yeah, carnal.
Carnal is the word. Flesh. Actually, the word flesh means, when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, it means sinful nature. When you're in the flesh, you're letting a sinful nature come into your life.
That's right.
That's what the flesh is.
Mm-hmm.
It's man. It's the carnal man.
Yeah.
The carnal mind is what? Enemy to God. It's enmity to God. It wars with God.
Yes, it does.
But the spiritual mind, if you have a spiritual mind, you got what? Life and peace.
Mm-hmm.
But can you have a carnal mind and a spiritual mind all at the same time? No. You can allow the carnal mind, carnal thinking to overtake you. And then you begin to think carnally. That's when you walk, not in the spirit, but in the flesh. That's when you begin walking in a sinful nature. Every time you walk into the flesh,
yes.
Every time you point your finger at someone and say, well, they're in the flesh, you're saying they're walking in sin.
In nature,
that's exactly what you're saying. Anytime somebody's in the flesh, they're in a sinful nature.
Yes.
But I'm telling you and I'm challenging you here this morning and realizing to wake up that you only really have that one nature. That one nature came when you were born again and you were transformed. You were translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Old things pass away. All things become new. In other words, something transpired inside of you and you don't have two natures any longer. If you still have two natures, then which one's going to go to heaven? Which one's going to go to heaven? If you have two natures, one is going to go to hell and the other would have to go to heaven. You've got a split personality, my friend.
Amen.
Now, I have known some folks that seemingly have split personality. They did work Jekyll and Hyde. But if they're born again, they wouldn't have to.
That's right.
Remember, I talked about how you can go against nature.
Yes.
Every time a born-again Christian sins, he's going against the very nature of God that's in him. The seed of the, where's the seed of God now? The seed of God is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost. When you're born again, that seed of God enters into your spirit, and your spirit is revolutionized, it is transformed, it is totally, instantly changed into a perfect creation in God. That's your spirit. Perfect before God. The Bible says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. You can't be one spirit with the Lord and one spirit with the devil at the same time.
Amen.
Now either you're one spirit with the Lord or you're not one spirit with the Lord. If I'm one spirit with the Lord, then I have a divine nature. I'm partaking of it through knowledge. And that's what I'm trying to bring to you this morning, of knowledge of who you are in Christ. Satan has done everything that he can to rob us of knowledge. Not knowledge of the world, not knowledge of things, not knowledge of carnal things, but the knowledge of God. And he has robbed us of the knowledge of God, telling us that we have two natures. We got a good dog and a bad dog in us. We're a Jekyll and Hyde. And one of these days, one's going to overtake the other. I don't believe that is even scripturally right. I believe it is impossible for a man or a woman that is born again to have two natures. Because if you have two natures, you were never born again. Amen. Now listen to what it says. Lord, help us, Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. And remember, flesh, when it says flesh, he's talking about carnality. He's talking about sinful nature. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says this, knowing this, that our old man, now who's the old man? We have an old man, right? Who is this old man? It is the Adamic nature. It is how we were born. It is how we come into this world. That is our old man. And the Apostle Paul is saying, knowing this, know this, understand this, receive this. Allow this to enter your heart, your mind. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now is your old man crucified or is it not crucified?
Yeah.
When you crucified Jesus, when they crucified Jesus, he died. So crucifixion means death. Your old man, your old nature, come on. Your old sinful nature, your old carnal mind, your old carnal nature was crucified. Is crucified. Not will be crucified. Your old man, that our old man is crucified with him. In other words, when Jesus was crucified, we were crucified. Then he said that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead. Oh, I wish somebody dead would raise their hand and say, I'm one of those that are dead.
I'm dead.
Listen to what he said. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Flee from the old man. Free from sinful nature. Free from the Adamic nature. Free from the carnal nature. He that is dead is free from sin. I'm going to tell you something. I believe what the Word of God said. And your mind sitting there and spin around and around and won't go to. But what we have got to accept what God says.
Yeah, right.
I'm free from sin. That's what the Word says. My old man was crucified.
Yes.
He's dead. Amen. That's the Word. We're going to let God be true, right?
Yes.
And we're going to let all of us be a liar, right?
Amen.
I'm letting this thing up here that tries to reason these things
be a liar.
I'm going to let this thing up here that's trying to figure out things be a liar. Well, that's where the devil is working. That's where the enemy is working. Invading my thoughts, invading my thought pattern, trying to get me to think contrary to what God's Word said. But if I would just cast down imagination, imaginations, cast down reasonings, and let the word of God wash me and cleanse me and purify me and sanctify me and accept that every good thing has been deposited in me, then I'm going to come into the knowledge, amen, of who I am in Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. You really come into a knowledge of who you are when you're really born again, you won't have no more trouble with sin.
Amen.
Because you're dead to sin. You won't have no more trouble with lust. You won't have no more trouble with the desire of the flesh. It's when you come into this knowledge of who you are in Christ, if you indeed are born again.
Amen.
He that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Now that's the word of God.
Amen.
His seed, see? What seed? The seed of God. The seed of God. They came into you when you were born again. Anybody was getting anything out of this?
Yes, amen.
Now, the nature you once had, according to this scripture, is dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's dead. You're freed from sin. Then the scripture says this. So then, Romans 8, 8 and 9. So then, they that are in the flesh, in other words, them that are in the sinful nature, cannot please God. Is that right?
Yeah.
But, listen to how he said it. But ye, who's he talking about? The church.
Amen.
The born again. But ye are not in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in the flesh. Not in a human, sinful nature. You are not in the flesh. That's what the word says.
Yes.
You might say, well, I'm in the flesh. But you're not in the flesh. You're thinking about it carnally. You're thinking about it. You're reasoning things.
Yes.
You're not accepting the word. Come on. You're not accepting what God says.
Mm-hmm.
When God spoke to, you know, the guy that was hiding out in the bush one time. The guy that, you know, was hiding out. The enemy was all about. God sent him an angel. God said to that man hiding out, thou mighty man of valor.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, he didn't look like no mighty man of valor. And in his mind, he was definitely not a mighty man of valor.
That's true.
His name was Gideon. You remember the story?
Yes, I do.
But see, what God sees is not what you see.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
Well, when we're back to the Word of God, what God's Word is saying, we're almost like Gideon saying, this ain't going to work. Show me a sign.
Yeah.
Show me a sign. He could not believe the angel. He just could not believe because the angel was telling him something that he, in his own mind, was not. And he could not accept that he was a mighty man of valor and that he was going to deliver them. He could not accept it.
Yeah.
Neither can we accept a lot of what the Word of God is saying because of our carnal thinking.
Yes.
And when you're carnally thinking, you're going against the very mind that God has given you.
Yes.
Remember, I said this in the Word of God, and I can prove it. Paul said, we have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Yes, he did say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But he also said, we have the mind of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But now, do you have the mind of Christ? See, we don't even want to accept that. Because of this thing between our ears.
Yes.
Then. But ye are not in the flesh. I'm in Romans 8 and 9. But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. In other words, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're not in the flesh. Now let me ask you a question. How many have the Spirit of God here this morning? And remember, the Scripture teaches us plainly, if Jesus Christ is not in you, you are a reprobate. So Jesus Christ is in me by the Spirit. Is that right?
Yes.
So the Word of God is saying, if the Spirit of God is in me, then what does it say? If the Spirit of God is in me, I'm not in the flesh. I don't have a sinful nature. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you're not in the flesh. You don't have a sinful nature according to the Word of God. Not according to Brother Hayes, according to what this Word says.
Mm-hmm.
And in Colossians 2:11 it says this, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, a spiritual circumcision. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the natural and the spiritual. There is a spiritual circumcision that occurred, and I believe it occurred when you were born again.
Yes.
And that spiritual circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. In other words, when that circumcision was made, it put off.
Yes.
It put away. It cut away.
Yeah.
Spiritually speaking, it cut away the sinful nature.
Yes.
I used to preach it years ago when I didn't understand what I was talking about. How many of you ever preached something you didn't understand what you're talking about? Here's the way I used to preach this message. God changed my want to.
Oh.
I would say, I can go to the bar and I can get drunk as a coot. I can smoke marijuana. I can run the roads. I can go have me another woman. I can do everything I want. I can do it again. And I can go party. Yes, I can. But I don't want to. God changed my want to. And I don't want to do those things anymore. I didn't realize what I was really saying. Yes, I could do those things. But my nature was changed. Hallelujah. I didn't have that kind of nature anymore. And I didn't want to do those things anymore. Because God changed my nature. And I would just preach, you know, my want to was changed. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Your want to changes when you're born again. Oh, glory to Jesus. Oh, he's done so much for you. You just don't realize what the Lord did to you when you got born again. You don't realize that you become a son of God, a new creation in God. Old things passed away. All things become new. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We come from the seed of man, and Jesus comes from the seed of God. Now we have that same seed of God in us.
Mm-hmm.
We're changed. We don't have that simple nature no more.
Amen.
Praise God. And then, let me read this scripture. This is in 1 Corinthians 6. How much time have I got? Still got time, Sister Linda?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty plain, ain't it? And he said, as such were, somebody say were, were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. The unrighteous are those with a sinful nature. You were unrighteous. You were sinful. That was your nature. But now, you've been changed.
Amen.
Amen. See, salvation is not a matter of getting better and better. Churches are taught, erroneously taught, you get better and better. You got to grow up. You'll overcome that later. You know, you get better and better. Salvation is better and better. You get better and better. No. Salvation is an instant thing. I was saved on I-285 in Atlanta, Georgia in 1972. I was saved then, and I'm still saved today. I'm not trying to get saved. I'm not trying to get better to get saved. I am saved. I got saved then. I was born again then. I'm still born again now. I'm as born again then as I am now. And I'm as saved now as I was then. I didn't get more saved over the years. Amen. No, we don't get better and better. We get closer and closer as far as salvation is concerned. Praise the Lord. Now, praise God. We don't live. How many know we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness? And we've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. So for us to have two natures, we would have to have one foot in the kingdom of darkness and the other foot in the kingdom of light. Would we not? We would actually have to be living in two different kingdoms. Is that right? But the Bible doesn't teach you we're living in two different kingdoms. It teaches we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Light and darkness don't mix. So if light and darkness don't mix, how can we have light and darkness in us? We can't. You've been born again. All right, I'll give you some more evidence. Praise God. All right, my want to change. When my want to change, I want it to live godly and holy, blameless, being a son of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked formation. I want it to shine. I want to be the light of the world. I want it to be, you know, if it took, amen. I mean, you know, back then, the old holiness movement, man, I looked like a spider walking around. White church. We didn't wear no colored shirts back then. You didn't believe in hope with a blue shirt on or a pink shirt. I'm sorry. You wore a white shirt, long sleeve. No ties. We didn't believe in ties. We didn't believe in rings. We didn't believe in watches. Amen. Black socks. Don't be wearing no pink socks. We didn't believe in open-toed shoes. No, sir. You know, when I come into the Holiness movement, man, it was a movement. I'm telling you what's the truth. But you know, I was involved in that because I wanted to please God. Yes. Whatever it took, I didn't care. Yes. If I had to have a high, had to do the haircut, fine. Shave it all. I shaved my head 2 or 3 different times. Completely. Whatever it took, fast and prayer. It didn't matter to me because I was so hungry for God. But I'm going to tell you, before I got born again, before I got changed, before I got what are we talking about here? Nature. You wouldn't have seen me fasting one bit. You wouldn't have seen me darken a church door. I might have come up in church with my daddy and everything, but I tell you what, I wasn't no more saved than nothing. I remember going to churches on Easter. That's about the only time I would go when I got out of the military. And I went to church on Easter, and I sat back there and laughed at the preacher. No, I didn't have no conviction at all about going to church. I didn't want to be nothing to do with no church. No, I was a sinner, and I enjoyed being a sinner. I liked it. I liked smoking, and I liked drinking, and I liked carousing. I loved it. That was my nature. Don't you sit there and look funny at me. That was your nature, too. You might not admit it, but you're the same way.
Amen.
You might have been off on some other stuff that I wouldn't even have touched. I don't know. But I do know this, and I do know it is a fact. When I was born again, my nature, my want to, my desires changed. How many can do and get a witness at least that your nature, what you want to do, changed?
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ.
Amen.
These are not just words. Paul said, well, that's a fancy word. I think I'll put that in. That sounds pretty good. I'm crucified with Christ. No. He actually meant it. When Christ was crucified, Paul said, I've died too. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
What a powerful statement. I'm crucified with Christ. Paul died when Jesus died. You died when Jesus died. Nevertheless, it's not I that liveth, but Christ is living in me. Praise God. Praise God. In Galatians 5:24, Paul writes and he says, and they that are Christ's, present tense, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You know what he's saying? If you're in Christ, it says you have already. You have done it. This is something you have done. You have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. They that are Christ have crucified the sinful nature.
Yes.
The sinful nature. You have crucified the sinful nature. When I was born again, I crucified the sinful nature. My want to then was crucified. I no longer wanted to run the roads. I no longer wanted to hang out with the same people I hung out with. I no longer wanted to have anything to do with the world. I wanted to go to church. Think about it. That's what Paul is saying. When you were born again, that happened to you. It actually transpired in you.
Amen.
crucified the flesh. Through Jesus, you crucified it.
The old sinful nature is crucified. It's dead, according to the Word of God. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24. I only got two more scriptures. So three. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self, talking of Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, that we be dead to sin. You're dead to sin. You're dead to sin. And that's what the scripture says. We're dead to sin. Should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. We are dead to sin. We died with Jesus. And when we accept Him, we're resurrected into His likeness, spiritually speaking. Christians cannot have two natures. You can't have. Born again Christians cannot have two natures. The born again experience joins our spirit with the Lord's spirit, and we become one with Christ.
Amen.
He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 6:17. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:20, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. We're sealed. We're born again. Amen?
Yeah.
And I've quoted this all through this message, but I want to give you the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You love the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Children of God, our struggle, your struggle with the flesh, your struggle with a sinful nature, your struggle with the things of this life, the things of the world, it's not because you have two natures. The struggle that you're enduring and you're going through and that you're being tempted with, Jesus was tempted, but he didn't succumb to temptation. Having one